Our Father, this morning, as every morning we are, we look to you for strength, for a heart of compassion, and Father, for wills which are set to doing your will. In this way, Father, we desire to please you. May what is shared this morning aid in our everlasting pilgrimage of getting to know you. Grant it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. When Julie and I were in Haiti in 1978, we worked with a couple that was very close to us. Sam was the best man at my wedding. He grew up in Haiti, and he invited us to come for about 3 months to work with them. As a result, we also got involved in the life of the mission that they were a part of. And it just so happened that during the time that we were there, though it had been going on for quite some time, there were a lot of difficulties on the field, a lot of interpersonal problems, a lot of unresolved conflicts. And towards the end of our stay there, they had planned a Haiti conference, that is, a conference when all the missionaries would come together. And in years past, those conferences had basically been an opportunity for the missionaries to bellyache to the leaders of the mission about others in the mission. The leaders, all of them came this particular time. There were five of them. Extremely wise men. In 3 days of conference, there was not one opportunity to bellyache. They taught, they exhorted, they encouraged in the areas of responsibility that we have one to another. Not what the other one has to us, but what our responsibility to others. In the last evening of that conference, something took place that I'll never forget and has marked me, has marked my wife as well. They celebrated the Lord's table in a very unorthodox way. But up to this time now, they'd been encouraging them in the responsibilities that they had towards their brothers and sisters in Christ. When we arrived there that evening, there were about three or four tables, long tables laid out. And there were a set of two chairs on either side all the way down. And beside each chair, there was some bread and there was some juice, wine, I can't remember what it was. And the way they introduced this Lord's table service was that they said that the Lord's table service is not just a remembrance of what Christ has done, but it's a symbol of reconciliation. And that we are exhorted in the Scriptures not to come to the table unless we are reconciled to our brother or our sister. And so the agenda for that evening was to take brothers and sisters to the table and to unload their burdens, to be reconciled and partake together. It started about 6 or 6:30 in the evening, if I can remember, and it didn't finish much before 1 o'clock in the morning. It started very slowly. And the whole time, those who were not actually participating sang. We sang for 5 to 6 hours straight. Just choruses, anything that came. It started with just individuals coming, bringing one another. And then pretty soon there were groups that would come. And there was much weeping and much joy. Reconciliation took place that night. And ever since then, I have grown in my awareness of the need that we have as Christians to forgive. This morning, what I want to speak about is not forgiveness in the sense of receiving it, but our responsibility as children of God to give it, and to give it liberally. I think so often in our message of the gospel, we so focus in on the fact and the glory that we have received forgiveness of sins from our Savior that we often forget that we've also been called to give that which we have received. Even as I shared in Colossians 3, it says, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you." I want to approach this idea of forgiveness in three ways. I want to ask first, what does it mean? And two, what does it communicate? And three, what does it result in? What does it produce? I think this is important, especially, you know, with the students here. We have this feeling of starting anew, starting fresh. This year ahead of us holds conflicts, interpersonal conflicts. And as God's children, it is our responsibility to forgive. What does it mean? Well, as we're raised, I think we are raised with the idea that forgiveness is something that results from someone coming to us and saying, "Well, you know, I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me?" We do it with our children all the time. Julie and I, you know, Josh will do something and, we tell him, "Hey, you need to go to Nisha and ask for her forgiveness." And he goes, you know, and he asks. And, you know, Nisha the same. But God's forgiveness is different. God's forgiveness initiates. It does not wait. You think of Golgotha. You think of Calvary. You think of Christ on the cross. And if at any point in the history of the world forgiveness was not deserved, it was at the time that they're dividing his garments, they're blaspheming him, throwing insults at him. And what does Jesus say? "Father, forgive them." I think those are probably the greatest words that have ever been uttered in the history of the world. And they're our glory, our crown. While we were yet sinners, it says, Christ died for us. In Luke chapter 6, there's the parable. And following that, it picks up this theme. Verse 32 in chapter 6. "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is it to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father in heaven is merciful. To forgive as the Lord has forgiven us is to extend mercy. To forgive as the Lord has forgiven is not to say, okay, when the person is worthy of forgiveness, I will grant it. When they awaken from their sin, I will extend my forgiveness, but not before." No. We are called to forgive. It's pure. Forgiveness is pure love. We're looking for nothing in return. I picture it in this way, threefold steps. Forgiveness is embracing, letting go, and re-embracing. Before Jesus, before the Father ever sent His Son, He embraced us. He determined to venture His love upon us. And once embracing us with His love, He let go. He sent His Son. But in letting go, He also ended up receiving not only His kindness, but His love. Forgiveness is something which is unconditional, it is continuous, it is pure. Only as we let go, that is only as we forgive,
we have the opportunity to see that. By forgiving, we get an opportunity for healing. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, by his wounds, Christ, we were healed. When we withhold forgiveness, we then close off the opportunity of that re-embracing. Forgiveness also means cost. It costs something in letting go. If you look at the model of our Lord, our sin, the need that we had of forgiveness, is vital to the Son. He put him on the cross. Before God embraced, he knew that in letting go, it would cost him something. The forgiveness that God calls us to give will cost him. Why is it that we hesitate to forgive? Also communicate that we're God's children. Who are the children of God? What do we stand for? We're those who, because we have been forgiven, extend forgiveness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul calls us there ambassadors of Christ. Ambassadors to communicate the reconciliation that has been provided through Christ. When we forgive, we give testimony that we have been forgiven. When we forgive, we give testimony that we belong to one who has forgiven. When we withhold that forgiveness, we deny the gospel of our Savior. In Matthew chapter 18, there's a parable of the unmerciful servant.
I'm sure you're all familiar with it. I just want to read the conclusion of it. You have this servant who owes his master quite a bit. The master extends to him, not quite forgiveness, but he extends to him, forgives him the debt, basically, that he owes him. But what does that servant do? He goes out and grabs a hold of one who owes him something, and because that one won't pay it, he throws him in jail. Okay. Says then the master, when he heard of this, verse 32 in chapter 18, when the master called the servant in, he said, "You wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." They don't go together. One who preaches the gospel of forgiveness and yet withholds it from those who are around him. Forgiveness is one of the identities of God's children. To forgive is to be merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful. When forgiveness is extended, it communicates love. Our love and God's love. And by it the world knows that we are God's children, and more than that, that God has indeed sent His Son to forgive. Forgiveness also produces something. It produces peace. I'm reminded of an elderly woman back in a church that Julie and I were involved in Oregon, who monetarily is as well off as anyone her age would want to be. She's in her 80s. She has a church who loves her. And yet there's no peace in her life. And the reason is she has not been able to let go of wrongs that have been done against her by her children and her pastor. Seems she almost rewrites her will about every 2 or 3 weeks, depending on how her children respond to her. And though she has so much, she's empty because she's not able to forgive, to let go, because she's not able to embrace. She's not able to forgive. And I don't know how many times Julie and I wept inside for her. You can't live next to a woman for 3 years and listen to these things and not desire for her peace. And though all our encouraging up to this time, as far as I know, has not made any difference. What does forgiveness do for us? It releases us. As long as we bear an unforgiving spirit within us, we're troubled. And we cut off relationship. Open that up, extend forgiveness, and there is peace. And in time, that peace will bring peace and reconciliation with the one involved, or ones. Forgiveness also produces love. Not only does forgiveness communicate love, but it produces love. You cannot forgive and not love. When you first set your heart to embrace in order to forgive, once the forgiveness is done, and I know all your experiences bear this out, you're free to love even that much more, to extend yourself on their behalf. Forgiveness frees. In Christ, it freed him to love us and to extend himself for us. You bear an unforgiving spirit and you lock up your affections towards that individual or individuals. But also, forgiveness produces power. The act of forgiveness brings power and credibility to the gospel. Again, in Haiti, the Haitians again knew what was going on there. And what did the unforgiving spirits in the mission, those who are basically coming and teaching them about the grace of Christ, what did that do? It discredited their message. I mean, things had almost come to a standstill because of the problems. But with a manifestation of that reconciliation, that extension of forgiveness, power is released. A witness is released. A testimony that indeed Christ must be among them. There's something here. And let me tell you, in Haiti, forgiveness is a rare commodity. If you know anything about Buddhism, it's very revengeful. Forgiveness has the opportunity to speak volumes in a country like that. But you know, it's just not Haiti. We're all made the same way. And forgiveness speaks volumes even here. Forgiveness will speak volumes in your dorms, in your houses, where you're going to be living this year, with roommates. And let me tell you, you can't live with somebody that close for 9 months and not have conflict. The odds are against you. You cannot live with a married partner for very long without conflict. You cannot raise children for very long without conflict. And let me tell you, children will find conflict with their parents. Forgiveness needs to be extended. And again, the question is not whether we're worthy of it. That's not the issue. The cross of Christ declares all of us are worthy. We cannot argue with what Christ has done. So when it comes to the decision of forgiveness, escape the trap of trying to say, well, will it really be fruitful if I forgive them now? Are they really worthy? That's not the issue. That decision was made ages ago in the councils of heaven. We have been called to forgive, even as our Lord has forgiven us. Forgiveness is powerful. Forgiveness is a divine act, and it is pure. One which looks to the need of another. One which lets go of self in order to embrace another. And in our letting go and in our embracing, we most fully embrace Christ in this gospel. I recently heard someone say, we as people never more fully participate in a divine act than when we forgive. We as people never more fully participate in a divine act than when we forgive. Surely, as God is to us forgiveness, our forgiving is a participation in His divine activity and a participation in His greatness. For it's also been said that there is no more room for greatness in the Christian life. It has been exhausted in Christ. But there is more than enough room for loving obedience. In our obedience, we're called to forgive. And in our forgiving, we participate in the greatness of Christ. Again, the words, Father, forgive them. May those ever rest on your hearts For there are no greater words, I'm convinced, that are spoken than those. For in forgiving, God has reached out and picked us up and embraced us. I call us all this morning to participate in greatness, the greatness of our God to us. I ask you to forgive even as He has forgiven us. Let's pray. Our Father, we look to you. And we are confronted with a divine calling that demands a supernatural strength. For Father, it is not within us naturally and ourselves to forgive, but in Christ, in whom indeed we are, we have now a new heart and the strength and the power and the affection to forgive. Father, we ask, grant to us this most precious of gifts, that like our Savior, we too might offer, not only in word, but in deed, forgiveness. And we ask it in His name. Amen.